Afternoon. My name is Steve Abbott. I'm Henry's son-in-law. I'm an Anglican minister and by trade, and so it's my privilege to conduct this closing chapter of Alexander Henry Levy, belovedly known as Henry, Dad, and Pop. I'm sure there are other beloved names which have been associated with Henry, but we might save them for the bowling club. Let me first, before I go any further, ask if you do have your mobile phones on, please switch them to silent. Let me begin by saying a huge thank you for your gathering this afternoon. Some have travelled very long distances to be here, and the family want to let you know that that's extremely appreciated. In particular, we want to acknowledge the presence of the representatives of the New South Wales Police Force, various gliding clubs, not least the Air Corps Cadet Camp at Bathurst, which Henry was associated with, but you'll hear more of that later. The presence of so many is a wonderful testimony of the respect, the high esteem, affection and admiration with which Henry was held. There's also a wonderful support and comfort to Mum, Ellen, and the immediate family, Ed, Sue and Annette, and their families. Why do we gather this afternoon? Well, we come to mourn a relative, to honour a departed friend, to dispose reverently of the mortal body, to show sympathy with the bereaved. In faith and hope, we will offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for Henry's unique, full and fascinating life, a life which will be presented later in words and photographs carefully crafted and assembled by the family. Now, we acknowledge today is a difficult day, for it inescapably reminds us that we will now have to face life without Henry. Without his touch, his smile, his laughter, his advice, his incredible general knowledge, his forthright opinions on any topic you choose to name, and, well, the list, of course, would go on. So for many of us, this current season of life is troublesome. It brings us pain and sadness as we consider our loss. For as a famous novelist said, a friend who dies is something of you who dies. And yet we wouldn't want Dad to have, or Henry to have continued to suffer the increasing discomfort of breathlessness. Yes, we miss him and will continue to do so. Our lives will no longer be as they were, for he has left an indelible mark in all of us. But despite the loss we feel, we remain grateful his physical suffering is over. One of the things about Henry we probably all recognise is he was the same no matter who he was with. Prince or pauper, policeman or priest, it mattered little. Dad was authentic to his ideas and his opinions. You were rarely in doubt about his perspective. Dad would probably have nodded his head to Shakespeare's words, "To thine own self be true." I respected this about him. What you saw was what you got. And while Dad and I weren't exactly on the same page when it comes to matters of faith, I will, in leading this service, seek to respect Dad's perspective. And yet I too will be true to myself as our Christian minister, as I suspect Henry would have expected me to. God of the universe, designer and maker of all things, we come to this time very much aware of our own human mortality, our weakness and our fragility. We mourn our loss. We wish things were different and that Henry had been with us for many more than 83 years, but it was not to be. We come with more questions than answers. But as one who believes in your love and care for us all, I ask that you would help us to grieve well. Please enable us to find comfort and support in our fellowship of sorrow and suffering, and in our giving thanks to you for the full and fascinating life of Dad, Alexander Henry Levy. Amen. Now, as many of you know, Henry loved gliding. And it's a tradition among some of the gliders to have a poem read. And so we invite Peter Sisko to come and read Soaring Flight.
Oh, I've slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter's silver wings. Sunwards I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you've not dreamed of. Wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlit silence, hovering there. I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through the footless halls of the air. Up, up the long, delicious, burning blue, I topped the windswept heights with easy grace, where never lark or eagles flew. And while was silent, lifting mine, I've tried the high, untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touch the face of God.
Thanks, Peter. One of the things about death, because it's so common, indeed, it's the ultimate statistic. People write about it, they comment on it. And two great ones who commented on death were Abraham Lincoln. He wrote, "In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years." And Cicero wrote many years before, "The life of the dead is placed in the memory of the living." So we'll now take some time to hear about the life that filled Henry's years as recalled from the memory of the living. I invite Marco to come and read the eulogy that the tribute.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Marco, and my wife Henry's seven grandchildren. It's my honour to talk about Henry's life today. This is a tribute to a man prepared by his family who loved him very much. Alexander Henry Levy, always known as Henry, was born on the 24th of June 1930 in the Bungalow Private Hospital in Narendra during the start of the Great Depression. He was the first of two boys born to Norman Alexander Levy and Amy Muriel Wood. Growing up in Breland, he was a country boy through and through. Henry's family moved to Leeton for him to attend high school, where he was a good student and thoroughly enjoyed being a Boy Scout and later a Scoutmaster. His teenage years were spent during the Second World War, and with the airfield nearby, he dreamed of being a pilot. However, this was not supported by his parents. And fortunately, the war finished when he was 15. After finishing high school with a leaving certificate, Henry started clerical work with the Water Conservation Board in Leeton, which he soon found was not his liking. He was a motorbike riding youth when he first set eyes on Eleanor, back in Narendra, when she was a young 15-year-old in town with her mum. Looking at her in the cafe across the street, he announced to his brother that he would marry that girl over there one day. Ellen's father was a tin miner at Ardleth, but the family had to move to find work in the mines at Captain's Flat near Canberra, and Henry followed. Henry and Ellen were married over 62 years ago, when Ellen was just 17, on the 22nd of December, 1951. In Captain's Flat, they had their three children, Edward, Sue, and Annette. Henry was now a miner, blasting shafts to access the ore some 22 levels below the surface. He was a member of the Miners' Union Committee and represented the town in rugby league. When the mines went on strike for 6 months, Henry spent the winter in the snowy, working for the Hydroelectric Commission, driving the payrolls to the outlying camps, sometimes in very difficult conditions. Before the mine eventually shut down, Henry joined the New South Wales Police in Sydney and was able to move his family up when a house became available in Layla Park some 10 months later. With registered number 9150, Henry joined as a probationary constable on the 17th of November, 1958, at the Police Training Centre. Henry commenced his policing career in the traffic branch at Daisyville, then moved to Redfern, riding motorbikes with sidecars. He then transferred to Blacktown to be nearer home, and by 1974 had been promoted to sergeant. During this time, he was at the forefront of policing operations in the fledgling floodboat squad, serving out west each time the floods went through Bourke. Henry and his mates, and I believe some which are here today, equipped a police truck for rescue work out of Blacktown Station. Doing much of the work themselves, much of the setup work that is, welding racks, acquiring tools in the very early days of this type of service. And at that time, the jaws of life seemed to be the wonder tool of the age. And I'm told today that the yellow teddy bear is a bit of a tribute to the time in the rescue squad. It's a tradition that any passing member received the teddy bear at the funeral, and I was told just a moment ago that it was certainly something that needed to be done for Henry, who was the boss at the time of the rescue squad. Henry was then posted to Burwood. With further progression through the ranks, which at that time was much slower, as he simply had to wait in line. In 1980, he was awarded the National Medal, and in 1986, the first class to the medal. It's an honour that recognises long and diligent service by members of government and voluntary organisations that risk their lives or safety to protect or assist the community. In 1986, he was promoted to inspector. That was in radio operations, and then he moved to Flemington Station. By 1988, he was made chief inspector at a time when merit was more the criteria for advancement. He then retired on the 9th of July, 1989. A passionate, old-school career cop who truly believed in right and wrong, justice, and a safe community. He lamented the change from giving long-haired hoodlums a kick up the bum for their own good and believed that society was poorer for it. However, Henry ensured his troops were moved by the times and would always do his best to keep them out of trouble on the job. Henry had a strong interest in policing work and continued to be involved in retired police and ambulance gatherings and was a moderator on two police forums on the internet. As a fellow New South Wales police officer, Henry and I often enjoyed sharing stories about how things are in the job now and how different they used to be. I remember the stories about Henry and his offsider driving around Blacktown in the police truck coming across some hoodlums on the street corner, as he called them. They would stop the car, wind down the window and tell the hoodlums, "We're going to drive around the block. If you hear when we get back, we'll be in the dock." Old school proactive policing at its best. A grandson, young at the time, upon seeing a collection of confiscated weapons on Henry's desk, recalls thinking Pop was some tough dude. He felt both impressed and a little intimidated. However, I'm sure he was not alone. Henry had a love for anything mechanical and electrical. He was always fixing things. In the steel frame garage, he built himself from a kit. This was partly for economic reasons, but to Henry, it was a challenge. Most people would buy a trailer, but not Henry. He recovered an old welder, rewound it with specifications he had sourced from America, then welded his own box trailer, which is still shared by the family today. Such is the strength of construction. He made another trailer for the police glider in his garage from an engineer's sketch and cut all the angle iron himself with a hacksaw. It came in handy when large amounts of furniture had to be moved, but was tricky to manage and not over more than one street sign. If you needed a tool, Henry had it. He had a tool for everything. And if he didn't, he would make it. For a long time, he worked second and third jobs as a mechanic to provide the family with a secure financial standing and was accepted into the Automotive Engineers Institute. He had a strong interest and aptitude for technology, always repairing his own cars, including rebuilding automatic transmissions. He had the first TV in the street, and of late, he learned how to partition the hard drive on his desktop computer, set up firewall systems, and sort out other program problems with the help from forums. Henry particularly loved his 1974 Falcon, which he had from brand new, and sadly parted with when he retired. However, he continued to buy Ford Falcons thereafter, white in colour, and the latest white Ford Falcons here today. During retirement, Henry and Ellen experienced some great holidays, travelling around Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Alaska, and the Pacific Islands, to name just a few adventures. They always seemed to be on the Russian CTC cruise boats, and later were regulars on many bus tours. They covered Australia, Tasmania, and New Zealand repeatedly over the last decades. Henry really had a thirst for knowledge. Remarkably, he taught himself how to speak German, had an enormous amount of general knowledge, and was astounded at the lack of it from the Y generation. He praised hard yakka, had respect for authority, and taught his grandchildren to be resourceful, to learn, and of course educated us all on the Aussie rhyming slang. As such, I now refer to my wife as Trouble and Strife. Henry had a strong dislike for American culture, including the baseball caps and t-shirts. He referred to them as septics, which made no sense to me until he explained the term septic tank yank, rhyming slang once again. He was just a proud Australian who had strong views, which are unashamedly somewhere to the right of centre. He disliked developers, politicians, and had an issue with some cultures with their potential detrimental effect on our lifestyle. He was old school. However, in saying that, we knew him to take everyone as an individual once he made personal contact. He simply treasured our fortunate lives in this safe and beautiful country. Thankfully, Henry and Ellen had a long and happy retirement in Tanilba Bay, and in the early days, they rode their push bikes most days. He also owned a sailing boat for a period until he found it a bit slow for his liking. Henry's real love was gliding. He started in 1975 at the RAAF Richmond, then helped form the Police Gliding Club. He was chief flying instructor at Williamtown and the Hunter Gliding Club, where he was president and a lifelong member. With their caravan at the airfield, it was a second home to Henry and Ellen. Several times a year, for many, many years, Henry and Ellen would help instruct, feed, and mother the Air Corps cadets at the Bathurst gliding camps. That was their third home. Henry has an Air Corps glider named after him. It's called the Chief Inspector A.H. Lee. And at the opening of the new Bathurst Aviation Centre just this weekend, a memorial plaque commemorating his contributions. The young family member recalls his admiration that Pop could fly a glider, remarking that he thought it would take both skill and guts. Unfortunately, with failing eyesight, Henry was forced to stop driving and, worse still, flying. However, never to be one to give up easily, this did not stop him from doing everything else. He always found ways around it. He increased the computer screen and font size to the largest available. He used jury glasses to read the TV guide and binoculars to read text on the TV screen from his lounge. Always clever, resourceful, and with a sharp mind, he needed to keep up with board events. Henry and Ellen were a perfect match with shared values and dreams from when they were teenagers. Raising a family, working hard during times when money was tight, and throughout their retirement years together, their marriage has been one of deep love, respect, and teamwork all the way to the end. Henry and Ellen made some great friends over the years through gliding, through their neighbours, old policing and ambulance colleagues, and we're comforted by your presence here today. Henry's health had been failing over the last period, but he never complained. It's clear from the condolences received that Henry was a respected leader and mentor, a top cop, a top bloke, a friend, someone who contributed to society, willing to lend a hand, someone who was greatly loved by his family. Henry was a Mason in earlier times and believed in God, but shunned organised religion. His legacy will live on through the impact he made on all of our lives and in his family, including the next generation of his 6, 7 great-grandchildren and one of the late. We hold great memories of him and will always continue to talk of him and remember him with smile and tears. Goodbye, Henry. You had a good run. And you ran your hardest. Job well done, mate. Job well done.
Henry, as has been said, was a man of intellect. He had read the whole of the Quran, because he was working in the area with a lot of Muslims, and I do understand them. And he also read the Bible from cover to cover. And so we're going to have a short reading now from the Bible. My wife, Sue.
The reading comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 8. There is a time for everything. time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
May I offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God of sky, land and sea, we pause to thank you for giving Henry 83 years of time to enjoy your creation, his family and friends. We are grateful for his intellect, his practical skill, his many years of service to the community of New South Wales as a policeman. We thank you for his willingness to give so much time to so many Air Force cadets. We thank you for times of laughter. We thank you for his example of love and faithfulness to one wife for over 60 years. We thank you for his authenticity and integrity. He called a spade, and what you saw, you got. We finally thank you for his full and fascinating life and the many memories we'll have of him. For his was a unique and memorable journey, one not soon forgotten. And for that, we thank you. Amen. We come now to a photographic reflection accompanied by Bette Midler singing The Wind Beneath My Wings. Henry, surprisingly to me, enjoyed Bette Midler. This song was chosen, though, because, as has already been indicated, many of the emails of condolences became increasingly clear that Henry had been a mentor and coach to many, many people. He was indeed the wind beneath many people's wings. Well, Henry's journey has come to an end. We've taken time to reflect on the extraordinary and impressive life of Alexander Henry Lee, husband, dad, pop, mate, friend, colleague, and blood of heart. But now it's time to commit his body, as was his wish, to be cremated. But first, one final salute from the police force. We do bow for prayer as we come to the committal prayer. Almighty God, you are the one who gives life and measures out the length of our days. You also provided through faith in the risen Christ the certain hope of resurrection to eternal life. We here commit the mortal body of Alexander Henry Levy to be cremated. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. He brought nothing into this world and he takes nothing out of this world. But leaves behind a myriad of memories that will live long in all our minds. Memories that we will be recalled bringing joy and grief. For his life and memories we give thanks to the God of creation and redemption, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll find in the service sheet a copy of the Lord's Prayer. We shall say this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. In closing, I'd like to share some words which Sue and I find extremely comforting. As we feel the weight of loss so strong today, these words of Jesus Christ seem to be incredibly appropriate. They pray for, they come from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It is our personal testament that Jesus Christ is true to his word. We commend those words to you. In a moment we shall stand and the family will leave the chapel to the words of the tune, Amazing Grace. But the family would like to invite all of you, Ellen in particular, to join us at Beresfield Bowling Club for afternoon tea and some time to continue sharing our memories of Henry. And we want you to keep telling more stories so we can still laugh and also share the tea at the same time, because that's the way it is, please. Would you please stand? I'd ask you to remain in the chapel with the family.
Turn this on off before you say anything incriminating.